and they that love it shall eat of the fruit thereof. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat of its fruit. Tonight, I'm going to talk about glazing, hazing, poison power, and praising. I had a really nice title set up, and then something bit me, and I was like, nah, this is so much better. This is so much better. So let's talk about the power of the spoken word. Okay, words do have power. The old adage, sticks and stones. What a bunch of baloney. What a bunch of nonsense. When you're younger, your parents want you to toughen up and be like, hey, it's fine, you know. But words do hurt, and words do have meaning, and words do have power. And tonight, like I said, we're going to be dissecting and looking into those words. What do the words mean when you send them out to somebody? So, to give a little bit of biblical oomph, because we're here in church, we should be reading the Bible, and yeah, amen. All right, okay. So, power of the spoken word. Genesis 11, 6 through 9, talks about the Tower of Babel. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they have one language. They're able to communicate. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down, confuse their language, that they may not understand each other's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city, and therefore its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad. Okay? The Lord didn't choose to come down and smite them. He didn't choose to, you know, thunderbolts and fire from on high. He chose to confuse their language, realizing how powerful the spoken word was and the ability and the need for humans to communicate. Hey, if you can't talk, you can't get whatever you're trying to get done. And it disunified them. Their project ground to a quick halt, but it united those who were able to understand. That's how we have different dialects and different languages in different parts of the world. It's, hey, you're speaking the same kind of thing that I'm speaking. Hey, let's go hang out, and now I've met a new friend. We can't build this tower, but let's go over here and make camp. And then, you know, some other people might be speaking some sort of Eastern European dialect and Western European, and then we get all of these languages all throughout the world, and, you know, we have diversity in language. Tongues. Or the tongue in itself. James 3, 5 through 8 says, even so the tongue is so little a member, it boasts great things. See how a great forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell itself. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. God chose to show the initial sign of receiving the Holy Ghost by speaking in other tongues, showing that he has power over this unruly member. Again, showing the importance of the word and spoken language. Acts 2 and 4 says, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Words are even so powerful that they were able to create the universe that we live in. Genesis 1, 3 says, most people can quote it, then God said, let there be light. This is an interactive. This is to keep you awake on a Wednesday night. I'm going to be asking questions and moving throughout, okay? Got to stay awake. All right, let there be light. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Yes, it was the power of God. Yes, it was God Almighty saying these things. But he spoke it. He didn't just think it. Something that we've said in youth, to youth and in youth class multiple times is you can't pray in your head. Yes, you can, but you need to use your words. God wants to hear what you have to say. If you pray in your head, it's just what?
Thinking.
Yes. Who said that? Very good, Eli. Nice. Yeah, it's just thinking. Now, I understand there are some times where you can't pray out loud. But in church, we use our voice because our words have power. So, it was a voice, it was words that were used to create the universe. Words were also used to calm the winds and the waves. Mark 4:39 says, and he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Again, words were used. He didn't just get up and stand there like some sort of Jedi, okay? He used words. He used words, because words have power. Words were also used to bring the dead to life. In John, we see, now that when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Yeah, there you go. Like I said, I'm keeping you all awake. Do you get it? It's kind of a double meaning. I'm making you speak words while I'm speaking words, talking about words. It's looping in on itself. Okay, I'm done. So your voice can have power to move mountains as well. Mark 11, 22. And so Jesus answered and said unto them, "Have faith in God, for assuredly I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he has said will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them." The power of words. So we've seen all throughout the Bible the power of words, using words. Now we're going to look a little bit, because I believe that science is catching up to the Bible. The Bible has already said it. It's already happened. And we in science think we discovered it, but it's actually like, oh, yeah, this verifies it. We're not discovering it. We're verifying what the Bible knows. But the power of words, this is all through, if you really want all the stuff, you can find me later, and I'll give you all the sources. But these are 5 different points of the power of positive words. Positive words literally change brain activity. A neuroscience study showed that encouraging phrases such as, "You can do it," "You're good at this," directly alter brain function. Positive words increased activity in brain regions tied to attention, emotional processing, and they improve performance and focus compared to negative words. In simple terms, when someone hears, it changes how their brain processes reality in that moment. Positive language activates the brain's reward system. Yay! Positive words and emotions stimulate dopamine-related pathways. That's your reward drug. You do something good, your brain does a squirt of dopamine. It leads to increased motivation, strengthening learning, reinforcing behavior. Dopamine also enhances memory formation in the hippocampus. Encouragement doesn't just feel good. It helps people learn and remember and be better. Something that we say at work is, never underestimate the power of positive reinforcement. When someone does their job or does what they're supposed to, but they do it well, hey, you get a good job, kudos. You didn't go above and beyond, but you did what you're supposed to do. Good job. It encourages and reinforces positive behavior. Positive emotion broadens thinking and creativity. Positive words can create positive emotional states, which expand cognitive flexibility, help people see connections and solutions, improve creative problem solving. This is called the broaden and build effect in psychology. Positive input leads to broader thinking, leads to better decisions. Again, these are all just from positive words. Positive mood increases, goal-directed behavior. I could keep going on and on. For the sake of time, to try and beat my mark, I'm going to not. But the biggest takeaway that I want you to take away scientifically is, a positive word is not just emotional. It's also biological. It changes neural activity. It releases motivation chemicals. It improves performance, learning, and it broadens thinking. The simple way to think about it is, a positive word can act as a neural green light. What does glazing mean? What does glazing mean? Huh? Giving them a compliment they don't need. Normally, there's no eating in the sanctuary. When it's part of an Ajibuk lesson, you can eat in the sanctuary. At least when Brother Peter's gone. All right, I need someone to want a Glazer. Oh, I thought I was going to have to fight for that. Pick up your crumbs. Who else wanted a Glazer? They're not all going to the youth. You can pick one more and split it amongst you. Does anybody want to? Oh, we got a Glazer in the back. Anyone else want a Glazer? Over here on this side, we got one. We got where? Oh, Nick wants a Glazer. Again, generally no eating in the sanctuary unless it's part of an object lesson. It is, so just clean up your mess and don't tell Brother Peter. It is recorded, but I don't think he's going to watch it. All right. How many of you enjoyed getting your Glazers? You got one hand. Well, two people are thankful for your Glazers. I have no more. I'm sorry. But the power of positive word is even more powerful than getting a Glazer. In some studies, it's been shown to be more powerful than getting currency. When people asked, hey, do you want an honest, open, positive word, or do you want $20? Many people picked the honest, positive word. We are called as a church to edify the church, to speak positivity, to speak good to others. We are called to be trees and bear fruit. I would like to believe that there is a Glazer tree in heaven somewhere. But that might not be true, but I serve a God that can do anything, so there might be a Glazer tree. But why are you going to wait until someone dies to say a eulogy and to say all the nice things when they're not even here to hear it? My friend Ben and I have this thing called a living eulogy project, where anytime there's something positive that pops into our mind to speak to somebody, text them, call them, leave them a voicemail, find them at church, but say that positivity, because I can tell you, speaking from example, from my own example, from my own testimony, when somebody speaks something nice to me, somebody speaks life into me, sometimes it can lift my day and put wind under my wings. But having that living eulogy mindset of why are you going to wait until they are no longer here to hear it, instead of taking the opportunity to say an honest, nice compliment. Now, I'm not talking glazing, like giving them something that they don't deserve, like, oh my goodness, your outfit is the greatest I've ever seen. Not talking like that. But if you see somebody or somebody does something nice or you appreciate something that somebody does for you, taking that time to be thankful and be, hey, you made an impact. Hey, I really appreciate the way that you worship. I appreciate, you know, your outfit today. You put you look nice and put together. Whatever the case might be. It doesn't have to be some big, long, drawn-out eulogy. I'm sure people don't want to stand there and listen to 3 minutes of you being like, oh, my goodness, you're awesome. Some may. Okay? Some may. But the power of a positive word, especially within the body of the church. Don't wait until somebody can't hear it to say something positive. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must show himself friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. If you want friends, you have to be friendly. It is a biblical principle before science or sociology ever figured it out. Part of being friendly is saying nice things. Again, I'm not talking about flatteries. I'm not talking about hyperbole. I'm just talking about an open and an honest compliment. I appreciate X about you. I really like it when you do X or Y or Z or whatever the case might be. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. We are commanded to edify the church. We are commanded to love each other. I think my father once said, words are free, spend them that way. Takes absolutely nothing for you to give somebody a compliment or to say something nice. You don't know what an impact that will have on their day. You don't know if they're having the lowest of the low days and they get a text or something, a phone call saying, hey, just thinking about you, just wanted to let you know you're appreciated. You don't know the impact. You may never know the impact. Hazers. So hazing is something that we used to do at work. When you have a new person, you haze them a little bit. I'm sure they've shown it in the movies of putting, like, I think there was a movie where somebody put a geese in somebody's locker and you do pranks on them and jokes and whatnot and so forth. Hazing isn't fun. The only people that like the hazing is those who are doing the hazing. Bible says Matthew 17 through 20. I'm sorry, not through 20. Matthew 17 and 20. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. I tried so hard to find a rotten apple, and I failed. But for those who wanted a glazer and missed out, I have this half-eaten, partially oxidized apple that my wife used yesterday. Does anybody want this apple? You could cut off the bad bits. Remove Roberto, do you want my apple? Do you want my half-used apple? Just cut off the round parts. No, I'm not going to make you eat that. I think there's a worm in there or something. Does anybody want this apple? Final request for the apple. Oh, dear. You're not going to eat my apple? Why won't you eat my apple? Because you have a glazer? Okay. I am not going to eat this apple. The power of negative words or rotten fruit is the bad things that we speak. The brain is wired to prioritize the negative words. It's called negative bias. The brain reacts more strongly and faster to a negative input rather than a positive input. Negative words can activate the amygdala, which is the threat detection center of the brain. This triggers a stress response, even if the threat is just language. Translation, one harsh word can outweigh several encouraging ones. Negative words, like I said, they can trigger the stress response. When someone hears something like, you're not good enough, you always mess this up, the brain releases stress hormones like cortisol and adrenaline. The heart rate increases. The heart constricts faster and more strong. It narrows the attention and you get tunnel vision. The reduced ability to think clearly, to talk clearly. The brain shifts from thinking into survival mode. It impairs the cognitive performance. Studies show that negative language reduces the activity in the prefrontal cortex, which is the decision-making center. It impairs problem-solving, memory, creativity. So instead of motivating somebody, negative words can cause performance to be much, much worse. I could keep going on. It creates self-fulfilling beliefs of I'm not good enough. Chronic exposure can have mental effects and long-term depression. Negative words will stick longer in the memory. How many of you remember an insult that you got when you were first, second, third grade, high school? It sticks in there. It doesn't leave. Someone can remember an insult for years. It can have an impact on physical performance. Saying that you can't do this. Well, maybe I can't do that. The biggest takeaway is that just as positive words act as a mental green light, negative words act as a neural red light. They activate the threat systems in the body. They shut down higher thinking. It releases stress hormones. They reshape the identity over time. The brain treats these words as real experiences, not just talk. So I ask again, does anyone want my apple? We hand out rotten apples all the time when we cut down, when we criticize, when we're a critic, when we gossip, when we spread rumors, when we slander. We're handing out rotten apples. And just like the verse said, good trees bear good fruit. Bad trees bear bad fruit. What kind of fruit are you bearing? What kind of fruit are you throwing? Does someone want to come up to your tree and pick off a glazer? Or when they walk by your tree at school or at work and they see this half-eaten, oxidized seed showing, I'm not going to eat this. I don't know anyone who would want to eat this, except for Luke. Just kidding. Nobody's going to want this fruit. So what kind of fruit are you bearing? I need the headset this time. I don't need the headset, but I should have had the headset. That's bleach. Does anyone want to smell it? This is a good apple. Does anyone want this apple? You already have a glazer. Mom wants the apple. I'm giving this apple to my mom. Love you, Mom. Okay, I have another apple. This is a syringe filled with a chemical. Does anyone want this apple now? It's a perfectly good apple. Nobody wants my apple. Sarcasm and flippancy is poison. You might think that it is a cornerstone of your friendship or your relationship, but in reality, the only person that gets joy out of your sarcasm and your flippancy is you. When you hand somebody a sarcastic apple, you are handing them an apple filled with poison. Let your words and let your phrases mean what they mean. In today's society, when you try and say something nice, say something honest and from the heart, if they have the response of, are you being sarcastic, or that's a time to stop and check yourself. Do I got poison apples on my tree? Do my apples look pretty on the outside, but on the inside, they're filled with a very fatal chemical? Because I promise you, as much as you might think sarcasm is fun and that your relationships and your friendships are built on sarcasm, eventually, as they eat into your fruit, they're going to taste something that they don't want to taste, and it might be the end of your friendship. Sarcasm is poison, and there's no other way to say it. Matthew 5:37 says, but let your yeas be yeas and your noes be noes. For whatever is more than these is evil. Proverbs 26:18-19. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows in death. I didn't have any of those. I decided to bring bleach. Is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. Just kidding. You look terrible today. Just kidding. I didn't mean it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you meant it or not. You said it. You spoke it. They heard it. You can't take it back. And furthermore, you've eroded your credibility in the fact of using sarcasm and lacing your apples with poison and sending them out for people to pick and eat. Like I said, does it feel good? I might be wrong. Does anybody in here like it when someone is overly sarcastic with them or sarcastic in general? I might be wrong. Someone might like the poison fruit. Lastly, but we got power. Scripture can speak into our lives. There is power in the Word. The Bible says that the Word is even more powerful than His name. What's in here is written to you. What's in here can change the course of your life. What's in here can change the course of your day or your hour or your minute. There is power in here. But it doesn't do good to just read it and keep it in your head. Saying it, verbalizing it, speaking it out loud. If you find a verse that applies to what you're saying and you speak that verse out loud, there is power in words. And there is power in the promises that are locked up in this book. Most of us have smartphones. Most of us have Google. Hey, Google, what's a scripture or verse that deals with fear? What's a scripture or verse that deals with doubt? What's a scripture or verse that deals with feeling unloved or depression or mental health? Google is there. And while I don't believe in, you know, Reverend Google, Google will point you into the right direction. And that's into your book. Getting those promises, writing them down, putting them in your pocket, putting them in your mind. I'm going to think on this scripture today. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Saying it to yourself. You're not a crazy person. We've already established that words have power. There is power in the word. There's power in the spoken word. This book has filled the promises. So many promises. So many promises that can help dig us out from where we're at. That can help us push on to where we're going. That can act as a light and a beacon to where we're headed to. But not just reading them and going, oh, that was nice. Clunk, done my reading for the day. But internalizing that, saying it to yourself. Last one is praise. We were given a voice, and we were given words. And these words and this voice is meant to praise our King, our God. In a couple days, we're going to be celebrating Easter. Easter is a celebration of the anniversary of when he rose. Death, hell, sin, and the grave, it's all his now. He has control. If anyone needs to be praised, if anyone needs to be glazed, it's him because he's worthy. And you can't outdo it and you can't overdo it. Amen. Praise is a weapon. Praise is a weapon. You look at the Lord's Prayer. How does it start? Hallowed be thy name, giving him praise. First off the bat, first thing you do is start praising. There is power in praise. You're going through something. You're dealing with something. Sometimes you might need to set aside your time and yourself and me, 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 and I, and I'm so far down, and giving him praise. Giving him praise attracts his attention. He goes, oh, I'm sorry, what now? Someone's paying me attention? That's my God. He goes, okay, I'm listening. And that's biblical. You draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to you. Praise is a weapon. Praising the one who deserves it. In closing, I want to read one chapter, and then we'll have an altar call. Like I said, one chapter, reading the whole chapter. Psalms 150, 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and with flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. You're going through something? Psalms 150, it's a nice round even number for you to remember. You don't know where to start in praise. You don't know what songs come to mind. You don't have Derek to sing or to play. That's okay. Speak the word. You speak the word and praise him. And watch what he does and watch what he comes into the room and says, hey, I'm here. I'm here. Let's all stand. Maybe not quite a normal altar call for a Wednesday night. But find some time. Find some time to think about the words and the fruit you're bearing. Am I bearing good fruit? Do people want to come and they want to pick off my tree? Are people passing my tree by because all I got is rotten apples and icky grapes? Am I handing out poison apples to people? The Bible says good fruit comes from a good tree. So if you're a tree that needs to be changed, he can do that. Speak the word. God, I want to be changed. I don't want to keep giving poison apples. I don't want to keep giving bad fruit. I want to speak life into people. I want to be an example for you. Some of you, you're the only Jesus that people will ever see. Me? Jesus? Yeah, you, Jesus. He uses your hands, your feet, and your mouth. Are you speaking life? Are you being what somebody needs to hear? Maybe they don't need you to come to them at work and go, in Jesus' name, be healed. Maybe they just need a positive, encouraging word. Hey, it's so nice to see you at work. Me? Yeah, you. I really appreciate working with you. I like having you in my class. You create that bridge. You give somebody that fruit, and they might come back for seconds. This guy has good fruit. I want some more of that fruit. So find a spot. Search your heart. God, what kind of fruit am I bearing? And then afterwards, if you remember, find somebody and give them some good fruit. Don't leave without giving somebody some good fruit. Word of encouragement, positive word. We're here to edify and lift up the body. Jesus' name.